This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half-time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
Anyway, Wednesday need to defend this as it's kicked forward. Oh, Odabadjo lets it bounce. That's not the right choice. And then he might just bundle his man over. And he has. He's given a penalty away for the challenge on Maguire. Oh. And there's going to be another penalty. Well, that is going to change things, but not for the better. Oh, he just couldn't get it away from those throw-ins. And it's Odabadjo again, isn't it?
Kieran Westwood got his fingertips to the last one.
Johnson strikes it, sends Westwood the wrong way. Johnson strikes it, sends Westwood the wrong way. And Preston will take the points from this contest here at Deepdell. Two penalties from Daniel Johnson put them into the box seat. Come on to the other side for Harris to send it back in the air.
Oh, it's a penalty now!
Atty Newhill, the big man, sticks it in the big moments, right at the end. The ball came to the Cotterman and he plays it into the roof of the net. John was looking for a penalty, not required, nor is a shootout. Wednesday are going through to round three.
The Wednesday Week. The Sheffield Wednesday Fan Podcast.
Hello, good evening, and welcome. I sound like David Frost when I do that, don't I? Welcome to the Wednesday week. Welcome back. Thanks a lot for joining us. I think this is the most I've done in a number of years consecutively. So, you know, you're all welcome. My apologies for coming in your ears. All right, so it's Thursday night. It's a day after what can be known as probably a wet night in Rotherham, for in more ways than one. And with me tonight, I've by popular demand, I've got Stevie Spence. Are you all right there, brother?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not so bad. Not so bad. Are you all dried out?
Yeah, pretty much. Just about. Yeah. Always nice. Always nice weather in Rotherham, isn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, to be fair, had it not been for that last goal, you'd have probably slept well last night, wouldn't you?
Yeah, just a little bit.
So, Steve, true or false? I'm going to go straight into it. True or false? Atty Newhew borrows Barry Bannon so that he can park in the parent and child section at Morrison's.
I've seen it. It's true. I've seen it with my
true,
own eyes.
It is true. I need a ping noise there, don't I? I need like a concierge bell or something like that. Welcome back, Steve. Great feedback on you last week, and I appreciate you joining us. So, right then. On the line as well, on his on another one backed by popular demand, it's Mr. Ash Rogers. How's it going, brother? You all right?
I'm good, thank you very much. Thank you for having me back. It's a pleasure.
How many now? Am I right in thinking that you ventured to the wrong side of the Pennines last week?
Yeah, and I survived that one just about. I was there with a couple of other thousand Wednesdayites for a lovely day in the sun.
Did we all descend on Blackpool like you did?
Yeah, probably a lot drown in their sorrows. But yeah, I trekked the family to a lovely weekend in Blackpool, which they thanked me for, of course.
I tell you what, Steve, you'll probably remember this as well. Do you remember when going to Blackpool was like a treat? Do you remember?
Back in the day.
Yeah.
The UK version of Hollywood.
Listen, if you're quiet, I'll take you to Blackpool on bank holiday. Well, watch me be quiet, Dad. Thank you. Eh?
I think by the look of some of the kids' faces, it was more of a punishment than a pleasure.
So what's it like coming to Blackpool nowadays, Ash? Did you get invited to have a look at a cooking book or out like that?
Oh, no, it's a shithole. it was blessed with great weather. That's all I can say. Yeah, we had a lovely day out and met some famous people, believe it or not.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Who did you meet?
I don't want to do a you, Dan, and drop their names, but... You know,
are you going to do a casual brag?
Yeah, there was one, Simon Cowell. He was there having a lovely time with his family.
Yeah.
And Anton Deck, believe it or not. Yeah, together, yeah.
What, all in Blackpool at the same time?
All in Blackpool at the same time, yeah. Yeah, it was good. Yeah.
Where were you?
At Madame Tussauds, Dan.
Brilliant. Hey, is it Madame Tussauds? Or is it Louis Tussauds? Because like it's a really notably shit waxworks in Blackpool, isn't it?
No, it's full on Madame Tussauds of the North.
It's, oh, wow.
It's proper because the prices are extortionate. That's how you know it's proper.
So there's a proper bit of London up there, is there? I like, you know, there I've never... Aren't they weird, though, like waxwork museums? Because it's like you go, yeah, look, that's a picture. That's me and James Bond, that. Is it? No, it's not real. And then you walk on, and that's it. That's the entire point.
I may treat some of the listeners to some photos on Twitter and look at the excitement in my face to meeting Freddie Mercury.
I can see that going viral, mate. all right, then. So, right, let's talk some football. So, Deepdale, a ground in which we don't have a great record at, if I'm honest. I can't remember the last time we won at Deepdale, if we ever have. I mean, does anybody know the stats on it? Is it something like a million years since we've won at away at Preston? I'm pretty sure that's it, isn't it? I mean, Steve, I'll come to you first. Now, we seem to have had a good start, and then we've dwindled a bit, and then against like Millwall, and then we kind of won, but we really didn't against Luton. I mean, tell us about Preston, pal.
It's one win in 22 games, I think it is, isn't it? I think the worst thing you can do the worst thing in the world that you can do is go on Google on Saturday morning. When was the last time we won at Preston? Well, how many wins have we had at Preston? I think it works out at one in 22 league games going back to the 60s. And that was in League One, wasn't it? So it's not a happy hunting ground. So you're up there on a Saturday, especially after the game against Luton, and you're thinking, crikey, today's a day where we can go and put it right. And then you look at that and you think, oh, Christ, it's going to be one of those afternoons again, isn't it? And I wasn't there, to be honest, so and I didn't manage to get there. But obviously following it Saturday afternoon, you keep abreast of it. And then all of a sudden, Odabadju gives the penalty away. You look back at it and you're thinking, Christ almighty, what's he doing there? Just defend. Defenders just need to defend there, don't they? And I wonder whether has he had a shout? It's just how, you know, basic Sunday league stuff, letting the ball bouncing in and around the edge of the area as a defender. And then it's just the clumsiest of challenges. And I think I mentioned the last time that I was on, it's just this sort of thing that makes me think there's something not quite right with him. Concedes the first penalty.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to go and dive in the way that he did in the second half as well was criminal. Absolutely
there's a wonderful bit on at the top of the show. I've done like a little montage of the commentary, just you know, mixing it up. I've got all newfangled and whatnot, and I've listened to a lot of the commentary over the last day. And there is a wonderful bit where Rob O'Neill, the ball comes over, and he's halfway through saying, Adebayo is going to get rid of that. And he does it, and he went, and Adebayo, oh, he's let that bounce. And he just seems genuinely disappointed. Like his world's ended. Do you know what I mean?
It had me arcing back to playing school football and having, you know, the teacher or the manager on a Sunday morning just saying, just hoof it out. You just rose at it, anything but a little pirouette and then falling over clumsily on the, into the back of their fella.
I still do that on a Sunday. You know that phrase that I think only kids here in Yorkshire, innit, where they go, don't let it bounce, do you? Do you know what I mean? It's just ingrained in us that there's like this area around the goal that if it bounces there, you are in trouble, pal. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's the one.
And then they go diving in again. Now, Ash, Adebayo, not exactly had a come roaring out the traps for me. Well, you know, you've seen more of him than I have. What are you saying?
He's a bit suspect. I mean, we're only, what are we now, 5 games in. I think it's his decision making. Like you say, you've just gone through it there with the Preston letting a ball bounce. Everyone knows, and I've never played football really at high level. Sunday morning pub football is the best I reached. But even then, you don't let it be. You get rid of it. Like, it's bounced in around the area. And to me, he's just... I don't know what's going through his head, to be honest. He's made a right hash of it. And he's pulled the guy... Well, pulled the guy down, pushed him down. But as soon as he lifts his hand, the attacker feels it, he's going to go down, isn't he? So I think from Preston, obviously, Bullen said after the match, you've got a young lad who sat in the dressing room, rightly feels like shit. But to me, I mean, what I've been hearing about him from like Brentford and things is not his right back's not his position.
Is it not?
No. Well, some were saying he was playing on the right wing. And you just think, what's he doing? What is he doing? What's Bullen? I said this, I think, last week. What's his position for him? What's his aim with him? Is he supposed to be attacking? Is he more defensive? Because even his attacking, what I've seen of him it's not that great. So I don't know. The jury's out. It's early in the season, and we know how things can turn around just by playing a couple of games. Getting the time under your belt with the guys on the pitch, but yeah, I'm not impressed, shall we say, at the minute. But hey, don't shoot me down in the next year or in the next 10-12 games where he has the blinder.
What's I mean, so you know, it, given the choice, Steve, you know the backup is Liam Palmer, who absolutely divides opinion. I mean, what would you pick?
Ooh, if you're going to play Palmer at right back, you then we open up, and I think we talked about this last week as well. It goes back to Morgan Fox, doesn't it? Liam Palmer's obviously in at left back in front of Morgan Fox. And I think on merit, I think the thing with Liam Palmer is he's always going to be a 6, 7 out of 10. He's never going to be a 9 out of 10. He very rarely lets us down. He generally speaking is above average, but he doesn't get people out of the seats, does he? He's not one of those players that's going to be up and down, you know, week in, week out, sending crosses in that people are going to go and get on the end of. And that's his downfall, I think, with those people that are divided on him. He's not that sort of that exciting player, but he's very efficient. So I think there's a place in the starting 11 for Liam Palmer, whether that be on the left or the right. I think if you put him to right back, all you're doing is shifting the problem from the right back situation to the left. And is that a situation when we're there saying we're going to put Morgan Fox in? Do we look at Iorfa? You know, when Iorfa came in last season, there was a lot of talk about maybe putting him in at centre half eventually. But, you know, I'm sure we'll discuss that a little bit later. But I think we're looking pretty steady in the middle of the back four. So, not really sure.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? It's so Ash, coming back to the squad, I think Lee Bullen mentioned that, you know, there's some fringe players that are going to have to be a bit patient, and I completely understand it. No, we've got Bates sat there waiting his turn, who, you know, in a couple of days' time, as we'll get to, managed to get a run out. like Jacob Murphy, I like him. You know what I mean? I think he's one of the I think he's one of the better players that we've signed. I mean, what's your opinions?
I'm a bit jury's still out for me on him. Obviously, he got off to a cracking start, which always helped against scoring against Barnsley. But I get a feeling like that he seems like he's got the pace. Obviously, we know that he's got the tricks, but is the end product and decisions again? I think some of them, like last night, some of the decisions you were making on the pitch at Rotherham. And he was trying too hard. I think he thought that obviously with Rotherham being a League One team, it would have been a bit easier for him to get the space, time, and the creativity that no doubt he's got against Rotherham. But he just seemed to not huff and puff, but he was just there was nothing that really shouted at me. That I thought, oh, he's had a cracking 10-minute spell there, which I've seen with Harris on the other side, and we all know what Harris is like, what he can offer, and I don't think he's had that. He got the goal, but over the games that preceding games, I don't think he's had that electric 10, 15 minutes where you thought, aye, we're lucky, we've got a good player here. So I think, yeah, jury's still out for me, but fair no enough. Doubt, like he's going to get his chances again.
Fair enough. I mean, you know, Steve Bruce had himself a recruitment team in, didn't he? And they seem to have done all right for us. So jury's still out on him at the minute. I think he's got potential to be quality. I think he's going to be one of those players that just has a solid game, doesn't do anything that sets the world alight. Like thing you did, who scored against us at Wembley? Was it Diarmi? I thought he just kind of just did his job and just absolutely smashed his way through it. But, you know, After losing at Preston, we all shrug our shoulders like we normally do. We're going to get boshed up in flares in Blackpool and knock it on the head. I don't think anybody, you know what I mean? I don't think anybody's too upset about it. It always happens. We're used to it. Death, life, taxes, Adam Reach screamer three times a season and getting smashed at Preston. It's a thing.
The only thing that was different on against Preston was the sunshine. It's probably the only time I've been anywhere in Lancashire that the sun was red hot and we were all stood under it for an hour and a half, and that's the only thing. That's the only thing we brought away from there. Sunburn.
Brilliant. Well, I hope you had your factor 50 on, Ash. Although to be fair, I've got to bring this up actually. Fletcher's goal, I thought, was brilliant. Now, Steve, I'll come to you on this. Stephen Fletcher is scoring these under the radar, isn't he? They're, you know, because if we're losing the game, it always seems to be Stephen Fletcher that scores when we lose. Do you know what I mean? But there's a definite plan there when it comes to forearm smashing it into the back of the net, isn't there?
Absolutely. And, you know, he's made a career out of it. And he's played at the highest level. I think he's a very, very good player. And I think he's very underrated for us, to be honest with you. You know, he leads the line. He gets people in around him. When we're firing, when he's winning the flick-ons and he's got people running off him, and he's an absolute pivot going forward. I think he's invaluable to us being playing well and being successful. And I think that's possibly to the detriment of other players, you know. I think one of the big discussion points at the minute is where Forestieri fits in. Do we play one or two up top? I think with Fletcher playing down the middle, when it's working and you've got those two wide players in a three up front, you know, that's when we look most effective and we look most of a threat. But yeah, I think he's very underrated.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that there's been a change in Stephen Fletcher. When he was young and a bit quicker in his mid-20s, he used to do that thing that Craig Bellamy used to do. You know, they used to absolutely tear down the wing, get to the byline and cut back. He was absolutely incredible at that. But as he's got older, obviously he knows what his body's capable of. And those headers he's sticking in the top bins are... They're exciting, them. I enjoy them. Do you know what I mean? There's always somebody gets an elbow in there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, he gets his fair share of lumps as well. You know, he's one of those that knows when the ball's coming up and he's got to go and win that flick on. He's not scared. He'll go and stick himself on the line and he'll get smashed from behind two, three times a you know, a half rather than a game. And, you know, he gets up, he dusts himself off and he gets on with it. And I think it's important, bearing in mind he's getting a little bit older, that we start to look after him a little bit. So, but yeah, I think he's doing really well.
I've got to say, I've been really impressed with his work rate in a game. Like you say, he's coming towards, obviously, his twilight years. But he still puts himself about. And I know Westwood kicking it up long, and he always seems to get there. He's always chasing down. He's there. He's first the ball when it's up and he's knocking it down. Yeah, really impressed getting around and about everywhere. And like you say, holding it up, bringing other players in, which I'm really, really impressed with. Yeah, I think he's started quite well to the season, and long may it continue.
It's another one of those where, you know, if you're sitting in the stand or you're watching the game, you love to see players chasing players down, what they do when we haven't got the ball and, you know, when we're out of possession of it. He's one of them. He always looks like he's going to bust a gut to try and put people under pressure at the back. And, you know, that's what makes people favourites, isn't it? It's what gets people out of the seats and gets people behind teams and players. And when you've got somebody like that, it's infectious and it starts to feed through the rest of the team, which is great.
I think you're dead right. I think you're dead right. There's a genuine thing to be had from having, you know, somebody exciting to watch to get the crowd behind you. And I agree with you there, Steve, as well, that when it comes to trying to square peg round hole Forestieri, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? It makes you think, you know, where does he fit in? But I'm sure we'll get to that for the next game. If you've just joined us, I don't know why you would, because it's a podcast, you've probably been listening from the start. But if you've been scrubbing and you've come to this bit, the Wednesday week, my name's Dan Fudge. I'm on the line with Steve Spence and Ash Rogers, and we're sponsored by the Riverside Cafe, where you can get yourself, you know, brie and cranberry, you know, a lovely chicken salad, panini. I don't know, they may not do paninis, but I'm sure you can get long bread. And it's on Catch Bar Lane, now open on match days with their new outside area. Right then, so speaking of one big guy up front, onto another. Now, it was a cold, wet day in Rotherham. Now, that sounds like the start of my autobiography, but Ash, did you make the long trip to the Tivoli end, but that goes back a few years, doesn't it, Ash?
Oh, geez, yeah, I've made a few trips to that end and a couple of trips back from there as well. With assistance.
Yes,
mate, I made the massive 12 miles of trip, I believe, to the New York Stadium, yeah, on last night. Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. Not.
Oh. Now, there was a lot of changes, wasn't there, yeah?
Yeah, 9 changes, I believe. Obviously, the fringe players, like Bullen said, fringe players are going to get their chance, and you could tell that right from the off. And the last, what is it now? The last two, three games, the first half of the matches have been awful. And last night was no different. The guys that played all looked like they'd not played together for a while. They didn't seem to know where each other was. The only highlight, which I was really impressed with and glad I saw, was Luongo. He really impressed me. Yeah. We haven't seen much of him. An odd substitute appearance. Got a few minutes in the other day. But from the press conference on Tuesday, I think we knew he was going to be starting. And really impressed. His passing in the middle of the park, and believe it or not, I'm not a massive Pelé Pessi fan, but them two, they did good. That was the highlight of the start of that. And Morgan Fox, I'd got to give him a big shout out. And we all know we all love him, all of us. he particularly had a good game. But the centre of the park, it was Luongo. I think he's going to be one of those where there's nothing flash about him. I think we've mentioned, obviously, the 30, 35-yard balls that
Bannon does.
Bannon sprays from left to right. Mm. None of that. No killer passes or anything like that, but just solid. The right pass, the right time, always looking. Going forward as well, looking forward, which, I mean, we haven't had for the last few games. It's been a bit pedestrian. But, yeah, it was a, a, another first half to forget. Rotherham had a couple of good chances, which maybe, but I'm happy we got the win.
Steve, did you feel that Rotherham set themselves up just to stop us scoring or to save some local face? Or, you know, is it one of them where they thought, right, we'll just stick 10 men behind the ball and let's hope and try and nick one? What do you reckon?
I think they set up to be difficult to break down. I think they made life difficult for us in the first half, and that was probably a contributing factor to it being a little bit of a substandard performance. But they were looking to try and nick one on the break, weren't they? Long balls over the top, giving our players our backline something to think about and trying to hit us on the break. They had a couple of opportunities themselves, but it wasn't like they were. I personally felt they didn't set up to go out and play sort of expansive football that they were going to try and get at us and, you know, play with a really high tempo that was going to worry us. But, you know, it was a game where they'd set up to frustrate, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
And if they could nick one on the break, that'd suit them down to the ground. And if they'd have got it, it'd have been a case where they'd have parked the bus and put 10 behind the ball, I think.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. I mean, there was a lot of love online for Thornalley last night, Steve. I mean, would you have agreed?
Yeah, he looks steady. I think, you know, it was difficult for both of the lads that have come in the back, him and Bates. Barely played any sort of football for us this season, if any. Bates has obviously had to wait. Obviously, they're starting for the first time together last night. It's one of those where it's a bit of a hide into nothing, isn't it? Because if we win the game, yeah, we're expected to win the game. And, you know, Thornalley coming in is expected to do well against League One opposition. Same with Bates. If they don't, you know, you're going to hang him out to dry a little bit. And, you know, he did his little bits. He did the things he had to do. He defended well. And again, it was once they got into the game and settled down, they started to look a little bit more comfortable. I like the look of Bates. Looked a little bit rusty earlier on, but I do like the look of Bates. I think he's going to be somebody who's going to give us a couple of headaches in terms of who to put in the back line. If Lees, Bates and Burner are all fit and firing. I think that's one to watch, to be honest.
I think we've kind of, especially in that position as well, even going back as far as 2 or 3, 4 years ago, we haven't really had competition for places at the back of the centre back. Now, there is a...
No.
Yeah, it just seems to be, it was always, what was his name? Leuvens and Lees, wasn't it? Yeah?
Yeah. And, you know, we've had other players that have gone in there and not necessarily looked the bit. So, you know, Thornalley's around, and I think he's at this point is going to be the backup to those three. And I think it's nice to have that competition. And if we can rotate and blood them in the right way, which is going to be difficult because, you know, that's probably your most important partnership on the pitch, isn't it? You know, you're back to because that's your foundation. If we can get that right and keep everybody sweet and happy, then, you know, it's looking pretty healthy there.
Well, you know, Lee Bullen, if you're listening, if you want to extend the depth in the squad, I am available, play your centre-back. I'll go behind Thornalley, you know what I mean? I'm there if you need. I'm pretty cheap. You know what I mean? I'm just putting it out there. Now
we'll play for beer.
Yeah, yeah. Now, with Bates, there is a... I was actually excited about it because I know that the Scotland manager, Steve Clark, was going to take a trip to Hanover at the early part of this season to go and see him, to go and see if he was worth a shout for his next Scotland squad. Now, I'm going to be up there for the two Scotland games next week, and I'm actually quite looking forward to it. I hope that that I get to see Fletcher, Bannon, Bates. Do you know what I mean? I want to see them have a run out. However, and this is a good segue, this, Ash, one player I probably won't be seeing in a Scotland shirt is Jordan Rhodes. Now, very divisive through a lot of our fan base, especially online. Now, two players that we've been excited about are Rhodes and Sam Winnell's return after we sent him on loan to Derby, rather curiously, and he started smashing goals in left, right and centre, then smashed his leg up. You know, both got a run out last night, Ash. You know, what were they like?
Awful.
That bad, yeah?
End of. I don't know. I've been for a long time since Blackburn, Huddersfield, when he happened to score a lovely 4 goals at Hillsborough. I've been a big admirer of Jordan Rhodes. I think he can score goals at this level. I just don't know what it is. we've now got two possible, well, we have two wingers that are going to attack the line, are going to get the crosses in that we all know Rhodes has been dying for the last couple of years.
Yep.
We haven't had that before. We've had Matthias, but we've got that now. And I just, there's just nothing there with him. Last night, he's lost some, I know he's not a big one for pace, like, but he's definitely lost a yard. I don't know whether he's not as match fit, as we call it, because he's not had the minutes. But I so want it. He needs one to bounce off his arse and go in.
Yeah.
He just needs something. He needs a lucky one where a defender smashes it against his face and it comes off and goes in. He needed to shove Dave out of the way last night, really. He wants to give the bit.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? He needs something and he just wasn't there last night. There were a couple of crosses. He had a header, a cracking cross by Morgan Fox, and header straight at the keeper. Either side of the keeper, and if gone in, would have been celebrating half-time 1-0. But he's just not the races. Really isn't. And I so want him to be.
Yeah.
I so want it the big money, £12 million, to be worth it. And he's just not there. And on social media, you can read everyone's frustrations with him. And I can't, obviously I don't speak for everyone else, but I'm sure there's a big portion of Wednesdayites want Rhodes to come good.
I think they do.
Because he's having the chat. Yeah, definitely. Because I don't think he comes across, I've spoke to him, I've met him, but I mean, he comes across a nice guy. And I think that's what a lot of people have said on social media, he's nice. But to get them 10, 15, 20 goals that we're wanting, has he got to be more than nice?
Well,
has he got to be a bit of a...
Yeah, I get that.
On the pitch,
but like, you know, and I'll come on to you, Steve, here. Now, Jordan Rhodes definitely has something. And there's an interesting stat I saw on social media today that was Atty Newhew since he signed for us in 2013 or whatever it was, has scored 32 goals. In that time, Jordan Rhodes has scored 103. Now, is it our fault? Are we doing it? Or is it just gone the way like those Brazilian players do, where they start out good and end up falling to bits when they get to about 26? Do you know what I mean? Like, what do you think it is?
If I knew what it was, I'd go and see him myself and tell him. Because, as Ash has just said, the guy needs some help. You know, if there was a night where it was going to happen for him, you'd like to have thought it would have been last night in a cup game against a League One opposition. You know, it was set up for him to go in there and, as we said, hopefully get one that will bounce off his rear end or bounce off his back. Go, you know, keeper clears it and smashes him in the face and goes over the goal line, and he gets one just to get the ball rolling. But we've been waiting for that for so long.
Mm.
I thought I'd seen him pre-season, and I watched him against Espanyol, and I thought he looked pretty hungry. I've not seen anything over the last sort of few games that I've seen him play that's backed that up.
He kind of gave us a false hope, didn't he, in pre-season? Because I thought, oh, we might have a new player here. Do you know what I mean? It might be.
Yeah, he's come back from Norwich. He looks the part. He looks like he's going to be sharp. I think the whole squad looks sharp pre-season. So, you know, you can say what you want about Bruce. He's clearly had him running. He's clearly had him fit before he's disappeared. And, you know, Bullen has obviously been part of that and taken it on. But I think, you know, he's been pretty astute as Lee Bullen in terms of the players that he's put in. And I think if he'd have fancied him, he'd have put him in, you know, previously, maybe give him more of a run earlier on in the season. But it's just not happening. And I don't know what the next step is, because is it a case of, you know, just riding it out until January and seeing if we can offload him again, get it off the budget, or do we, you know, do we persevere and see if it's going to come good?
Personally,
if it's going to come good, what's it going to take? I don't know.
I think personally speaking, you know, it's took too long now. I think he's had long enough, don't you think?
I was just going to say a lot of the talk was around, you know, the potential that Lucas Jow had.
Yeah.
He's had a lot of potential, but he's got to a point where he's now 25, 26. So let's cut our losses with Jow. We've moved him on for $7 million because he's flattered to deceive for so long. But Rhodes is probably flattered to deceive for just as long, if not longer, in the same sort of the same sort of way. So why is it all right to say, right, we're going to cut our losses with Jow and we're going to keep persevering with Rhodes?
I think the answer, well, I don't know the answer, but with Rhodes, he has got history. I think everyone knows that he is a potential, I'm saying that word again, but we know 20-25 goal a season championship striker. It's just how, is it, like Dan's just, is it the way Sheffield Wednesday are setting up? Is it the formation, the way we play? Because, no, I know they always say form is temporary, class is permanent, but I do believe he's a class striker. It's just where it's the money. I think it's face as well with, yes, we've spent 12 million around about on a striker and he's not scoring. Well, plenty of championship teams have done that. They've spent 12, 15 million on a striker and it's not come good. And like you say, Steve, do you reckon that it should be this season is it? January, if he gets the game time between now and January and he still hasn't notched up 6, 7, 8 goals, do you think we should, like I say, ship him out for 6 months till the end of the season, then with a loan with an option?
Well, that's
to buy.
How we got him, innit? That's
but the problem with
yeah.
Go on, Steve.
The problem with that is he's only going to play if Fletcher doesn't at the moment.
Yeah, and Fletcher's scoring goals.
Is he the second choice striker behind Fletcher? Fletcher's scoring goals, he's looking busy, he's everything that we possibly want Rhodes to be, but it's just not quite there, is it? So do we say, right, Fletcher out and we put Rhodes in? It's not the right move, is it, at the moment? So where are those games and where is that game time going to come from for him?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sure this will probably rumble on like it has done for, you know, I'll not lie, I'm sick of talking about him because it just doesn't seem to be anything happening. Do you know what I mean? It just seems to be the same player that we got back all those years ago that's not put the ball in the back of the bloody net as much as we'd like him to. But anyway, again, death, life, taxes, Ati New or Sheffield Wednesday scoring a absolute death, last gas winner against the Millers. I mean, it's been happening for how many years now? I mean, I think it started with Kieran Lee getting the one in the 100th minute or something, didn't it? I mean, Ash, come on, man. Did you take your boy to that game? I bet he thought that was outstanding, didn't he? Or did you sneak out to try and get the car?
Yes, mate. There were more limbs than Madame Tussauds, I tell you. it was immense. My lad, bless him, loves Big Dave. He thinks he's the bee's knees. He plays him on FIFA, all that. He's
that is
one of the
insane.
Supporters.
I love that. I've just realised because, like, bear in mind, Ash, there's a group of people that like Ati Niru, like we used to love David Earst back in the day. And then if you think of like a middle range generation, there are people out there that love Stephen McLean, like we love David Earst back in the day. He's absolutely mental to me. Why?
I have not got a clue. I do not know. For one, he's got about 26 pace on FIFA, and I think that's being generous to the guy. But I genuinely believe, like you just say, Dan, in 15, 20 years, he will be a cult figure.
Absolutely.
We will have a scarf above a bar in Sheffield with Niru on it. And there's going to be some like late 30-year-old, 40-year-old blokes going out for a drink and going, oh, I remember him. Oh, can I have that? Can I have that? I'll give you €100 for it. You know, that's that sort of thing. I believe he will be like that. And there's people that hate him. There's people, he's there for a job. Every player has got a job. And I believe that Niru's job is to make himself a bit of an arse on the game and stick it in when we are 97th minute, scratching our bums, waiting for penalties.
I mean, it's truly one of the worst goals I've ever seen as well. In fact, he scored a second worst goal. Do you remember that one against Watford where he stopped them getting promoted? And it was meant to be this silky side volley, and he ended up just miskicking it into the floor, and it bounced into the top bins. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just bloody absolutely dreadful. It
was. Now, but we go. On. But sorry, Dan. We go. We just said about Jordan Rhodes as well. But if you obviously watch the highlights of the goal, he wanted it. He wanted
yeah,
to get there.
Absolutely.
It was there. Whereas we've said with Rhodes and. On social media today, I've seen some comments and people saying about Jordan Rhodes non-celebrating the goal. He did. If you watch the video, he does go up and say, "Oh, well done, Dave." I'm not even going to do his an impression, of it, but he was there. He wanted it. He got it. Whereas that's what we were like.
Yeah.
He's not the greatest striker by no means. He's not got the finishing of the greatest striker or anything. But you can see when he plays, he does want to play. He's yeah. there. He holds the ball up. He shakes defenders off. He even turns defenders. Now he's got the turning circle of the bloody Arctic, but he still manages to Richard Wood, which is, well, I think I would be able to, but he's there. And that's what I like. And I think that's why people like him.
Yeah.
He's not the prettiest. He's not the most skillful. He's not graceful, but he's there. He tries. He scores important goals, and that's what people love about him, I think.
Now, that was something of interesting you said there, Ash, and I'm going to stitch you up here, Steve, because I've not put this in the notes before we started recording. There is a thing that I've noticed with New Hugh, and it's the Nahui, as commentators seem to like to call him, that, you know, The Nahui thing always reminds me that someone's made notes with joined up writing, and if you put a U and an I next to it, you know, it's hit or miss which way it's going to be.
It could be anything.
It always yeah. reminds me of yeah, it could be. Oh, it just reminds me of when the Sheffield Wednesday fans used to call Miguel Liera Liera because they thought the lowercase I, the lowercase L was an I. Do you know what I mean? Absolutely,
yeah.
Liera. Whoa. Oh, you fucked it. You just ruined the Spanish language in one fell swoop there. But I've got this thing, like, with Nuhu, when he scores, especially when he gets a late one and an important one, he tends to want to go, ah, at the crowd, at our fans. Have you noticed this? You know what I mean? He just kind of yeah. wants to run up, doesn't he? Have you seen it? I mean, he kind of did it last night, didn't he?
He did. You know, and I haven't got a problem with that, to be honest with you. I'm all for a lad who'll go and celebrate in front of the crowd and give it some. I can't comment on what he's trying to do when he's running up to the crowd, but I'll tell you something, absolute scenes in the stand afterwards and after the goal. And, you know, everybody gets around him as well. He's clearly very popular in the changing yeah. room. You know, you've seen that on other players' social media. They're always tagging yeah. him in. They're always in and around him. They made a deal of his birthday before. And I think we're talking about the goal that he scored last night. Let's not forget, he had a hell of an impact on Saturday as well when he came on. And I've got a couple of mates. I'll stitch myself up here. I am not a Nuhu fan by any shape. You know, I'm not one of those. And I'll sit and I'll say, listen, for me personally, if we're going to get up and out of the league, we're going to be challenging at the top of the table. He doesn't fit that profile, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, because, you know, I'll eat humble pie. I'll go back on my words. I cannot deny. Whenever he comes on at the moment, he seems to have an impact. He changes the game. He's a walking, talking plan B at the minute, and I haven't got a problem with that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, no doubt, Steve. If when we do get promoted, we'll probably be one of the first out the door. but like you've just said, though, he is a big plan B, and it was very, going back to the Preston game once again, change the game.
That's
funny saying that, isn't it?
It's just not smart. I tell you what it reminds me of. Now, Steve, I'm going to tell you a small anecdote here. There was a time Ash and I used to play for the same pub on a Sunday, and and we, you know, Ash and I are what you'd call a big stag. Do you know what I mean? You know, I'm really tall, and Ash is, you know,
be nice.
Ash is a big lad at all.
not Julian Byrne a big lad either.
and the gaffer, didn't he? Right, me and Ash were on the bench because we're not blessed with pace, the pair of us. And me and Ash were on the bench, and the gaffer uttered these words. Did he? He went, "Fudge, Ash.
Yep.
Get them tops off. You're both going up front." Now, this doesn't happen. Do you know what I mean? they were just going to chuck us on just to literally flail some elbows around and lump it up to us. That was going to be the plan. And we looked at each other and thought, God, this is it. You know what I mean? This is it. We're going to get promoted. I'm going to hire my own rooftop bus just for me on it and drive around Lawton. Do you know what I mean? And then literally just as he took our tops off, somebody's gone over the top of the ball and literally broke our captain's leg. And I was that excited. I'm going, just carry him off. He'll be all right. Just walk it off. Like, you know, he's gone through his shin pad. And I went, just carry him. We can't cancel game, lads. We can't. We've got to play on, like, you know what I mean?
Love it.
And I felt, and I felt that, like, talking about Atinuu like that plan B, that was me and you going up front, Ash.
Yeah. It was like, you should have seen the dejective looks on Peter Crouch and John Parkin's face. That's who we were.
Hey, both prolific strikers in their own right, Ash. But yeah, so you know, it's 97th minute. We've once again got a late one against Rotherham. And do you know what? Normally, we as fans write off this rival with Rotherham. And I think over the last 4 or 5 years, the way we've absolutely stifled them in the last 5 minutes, I think we can let them have it. You know what I mean? If they want to rival with us, they can have it. You know what I mean? Because I think we've earned it. We've earned them hating us. You know, Rotherham fans coming back to us going, "Oh, obsessed! It's your cup final. Oh, tin pot's that." Yeah, grow up. Do you know what I mean? It's as crap a banter as when us and Sheffield United call each other the pigs. I mean, could we not have come up with a different name? Do you know what I mean? Hey, you're red and white, and you look like bacon. You're a pig. Hey, you wear blue and white stripes like a bacon, like a butcher. You're a pig. Banter, lads. Well done. Absolutely decent. Yeah.
It was the social media when obviously we sold out the tickets within 24 hours or whatever it was, and there were the comments of, "Oh, it must be their cup final. We've sold out. They've sold all the tickets. Oh, it's their cup final."
Yeah.
The fact that we could have probably sold another 2,000 or whatever it was, and that was the only allocation they gave us. It was.
Bless them.
And then the bit of a laughable attendance of, I think it was something like 8,679.
Wow.
I don't think I know. I've got it in front of me. Over 2,500 of Wednesday. It was a bit poor, to be honest. I thought they would have sold a few more.
Yeah, surely you're chucking out £10 a ticket.
Their local derby.
Yeah, wouldn't you chuck it out £10 a ticket, fill it up with kids, you know, that type of thing, wouldn't you?
Definitely. I was going to make a joke there, but I won't. But, you would have thought, but apparently some on social media, the tickets for the home were quite, what they thought, quite expensive because it was who they were playing.
Oh.
And when we paid, adult for us were £23, which for a second round League Cup game, I thought was a bit extortionate, but you're going to pay it, aren't you, for that last 10 seconds of unbridled joy from Big Dave.
You paid it twice after that. Go on, Steve, what were you going
to? That was just the point around, you know, getting the ground filled. If they'd have knocked the price down a little bit, I think it would have made a bit of a difference in terms of the atmosphere there last night, you know. And you've seen what happens in these cup games where, you know, the stadiums are full, the ground's full, and you've got a team of, and you have to say it's lower league, it's League One, League Two. They're behind, the supporters are behind their team. It does make a difference. And I've seen one or two games last night and the night before, I think, where you can see that atmosphere there was a hell of an atmosphere at Lincoln looking at it last night.
I was going to use that as a segue, because Lincoln were, I was going to say, unlucky to lose against Everton. I don't know if they were unlucky, because I mean, the goal that, I can't remember who scored it, just the one that top bins that they got, I think that drew it up at 2-2 was absolutely incredible.
Andrade, I think it was.
Yeah.
Bruno Andrade.
Yeah. That's the one, is it? And Lincoln scored after 20 seconds. I thought it was, you know, that had the potential of a large banana skin because, like you say, of the atmosphere that was there. But yeah, so on to Everton in the next round. a decent FA Cup tie, to be fair. And to be fair, the fans have been quite complimentary of it, because every time you see a cup draw now, you go, oh, bloody hell, crap fixture, because, well, we like mourning and we're from Yorkshire. But, you know, we've been quite nice about it. It's a proper cup tie. Biggish team, decent following. Should be a good night, Steve, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. It harks back to the Arsenal game in 2015, doesn't it? Where you get a Premiership team down under the lights. You know, there's an outside chance it'll get picked for the TV. I'm not saying it will or it won't, but it's got that sort of feel around it, hasn't it? I'm old enough to remember the FA Cup replays in the mid 80s, where we seemed to play Everton on, you know, replay, second replay, third replay. I think we had a season against them once where it was just we couldn't get past them and vice versa. So I'm old enough to have memories of those sorts of games. I think it's a decent tie for us. You know, it's one of those where, you know, you can go in there and whatever side we put out, and hopefully we'll put a decent side out, taking everything into consideration with a league campaign as well. It's not one where you're sitting there and you're thinking, right, we're in for a hiding here. It's something that we can potentially go in there and get something out of the game and look and be competitive. So very much looking forward to it.
What about you, Ash? I mean, surely you're looking forward to the game. Do you know, it's a solid question. Do Sheffield Wednesday need a cup run? Because I am bored of the Championship, man. I'm bored of the fact that Sheffield United have been in the Premier League twice since we've been relegated. I'm absolutely sick to the back teeth of being in this league now. I'm sick of people telling me it's the better league. I'm sick to death of people telling me that, you know, it's more competitive, ergo it's better. No, I'm sick to death of being loaded and we're not able to spend it. Imagine what damage we can do in the Premier League when we've got a blank checkbook. I mean, what about you? Do we need a cup run, Ash?
I think it's probably, obviously, the lowest priority for us. Especially the League Cup as well. But I'm always up for a League Cup run or FA Cup run. Always. I do. Well, just think winning breeds winning, I believe. So you have all right then, whatever. We'd all loved 5-0 last night, but we got a scrappy, lucky, if you call it, 1-0 win. Goes on to Saturday, play QPR. But then you've got Everton. Now, it's a bit of a precursor of where we want to be. Yeah. We want to be playing Everton every season. So, yes, 75% of this squad, if we get promoted, would probably either be shipped out or be fringe players. But it gives you an idea of where we're at now against the bigger boys. Like you say, you're sick of Sheffield United, which we all are. Everyone in blue and white is sick of Sheffield United. But I think with a cup run, yes, they're going to be playing fringe players themselves. They're going to be playing people coming back from injury, young lads. But they're going to bring quite a few thousand, I believe. And we will have, I believe it'll be the Wednesday night. I think United are going to be playing Tuesday. It's not a million miles away, Everton. They'll bring a few. And if we get the pricing structure like we just talked about earlier, right.
Yes.
We'll have a few thousand there.
Yeah, I mean,
and I'm up for it.
I agree with you.
I'd rather have
We've got a big stadium that when it's a cold Tuesday night with the blue seats can look really cold. If you're listening, Mr. Chance here, because I know you're an avid Dan Fudge fan. If you're listening, you know, just a tenner a ticket. Get, you know, send some free tickets out to some schools. Let's get it filled up, because you know when Hillsborough's banging, it's banging. Like, you know, we definitely had an extra man on the pitch that day we smashed Arsenal at Hillsborough. It was absolutely incredible. And I have never woken up with so much dark fruits in a football shirt. I don't drink dark fruit unless it's football. It's just got that stigma around it, hasn't it? But for some reason, you know, I went to Dublin on Tuesday night and they do Bulmer's dark fruits. It's not the same.
don't you think though it'd be classed as a type of investment? So if you say you're taking adults for a tenner, kids for a fiver, you're going to get, even though, yes, schools are back, it's always a bit of a thing with the kids in schools and it's going to be a late finish. But think of the kids, obviously, who were there at the Arsenal game. What that environment, that stadium, like you say, under the lights with late 20,000 and 30,000 max, I believe, with the thing that's going on with the North Stand. Just imagine that, and that'll breathe. That would Wood said to a little kid who go to school the next day, oh, I had a cracking night. Obviously, if we win, when we win, should I say? A bit of a pessimist there. But when we win, and it's they're going to think, oh, really, I want to go back, Dad, I want to go back there. And they get that. They get the, I want that atmosphere. I liked it. I walked out up the steps, looked to Hillsborough on a night for the first time. I think we've all, you might have seen the video on social media, the little boy, yeah. Thank you, Goodison. And I think BBC retweeted it, and his face. That's what you want.
I'll tell you what's weird. That one that's on the All Wednesday video, that kid that comes out on the stand and absolutely gasps at what he sees.
Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
sorry for him. We've all gone yeah. for that moment, haven't we? And we know it's an absolute bloody downhill right from here, isn't it?
That's what he wants.
Yeah.
That's what Chancellor wants. That's what everyone
wants. New recruits. That's what we're after.
Yeah.
But listen, we're pushed for time. So this is probably going to be going on for the next 4 or 5 weeks. So this is going to be called the Bullometer. Yeah. Now, what I'm going to do, you guys are going to give us a mark out of 10 of Lee Bullen's prospects for the job in the hot seat. Yeah. So, for example, after game one and then game two, 2 wins under our belts, prospects up to 8. After the Luton game, playing crap and winning and then getting beat by Millwall, prospects 4. So, after a scrappy win against Rotherham in the League Cup, I think it's QPR up next, isn't it, after the break? So, Steve, I'll come to you first. What's your number on the Bullometer?
I'm going to go with a six. Six because I think we're no further on in knowing who they're thinking is going to be the person that comes in. There's nothing that's been said from the club. Six because he's probably going to get it by default. I don't think there's anybody else around at the moment that seems to be, seriously being associated with it. So, he's going to get it, whether or not he deserves it or not at the moment. I think Saturday is an absolute critical game. If he loses Saturday, then that number's going to come right there.
Yeah, I think you're right. Ash, what about you? What's your Bullometer number?
I'm going to go.
That was a big one.
It's a question that I'm going to split 50-50 with everybody, but I think I'm going to give him a 4.
Oh, we've gone the other side, have we?
I think I'm going to... Yeah. I've given him a 4. Obviously, if we'd have started this season with a different manager, would we be happier? I believe we would be. I think if we'd have got the points that we've got... I mean, I've started the season with he who shall not be named as manager. I looked at the first 6 games and I thought, wow, 18 points. That's easily 18 points winnable. Obviously, we haven't got that. But I think there is that. This is not any in the know or anything. I know jack shit. But I believe there is something going on behind the scenes. I think that Chancery is taking his time.
Well, there was a really...
It could do with
videoing him in a restaurant, wasn't it? Did you see that? He was in a restaurant having dinner with somebody where trainers, and everybody's losing the bloody mind videoing the poor geezer because they give him a window.
he had a Spanish flag on his T-shirt or something, didn't he?
Christ almighty. We just have to...
Big up to Nonners.
We just have to wait like we normally do and just wait for his son on Instagram to tell us who we're signing. Do you know what I mean? That's all we need to do.
It is, Dan, but I think everyone's a bit... your mate Dom Housen's put a thing out to this afternoon about it's time to make a decision either way.
Yeah.
I think no news is not always good news.
Yeah.
There doesn't seem to be a... Even from Bullen, his post, basically, he speaks, I feel, he's speaking like it's one day at a time. And I know every manager should be like that because anything could happen. We've been in that situation. We don't know what's going to happen. But I think if Mr. Chancery was really, really struggling, I think he would have he'd have named him by Bullen by now. I think
fair enough.
So I think there's something in there, and they're working on it. But
so the average score with your four and Steve's so, six. I mean, I hope you pair don't get any splinters in your ass sat on that fence, dear lads. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, all right, listen, I'm going to wrap this up. That's an hour. Thanks a lot for joining us. Thanks a lot to the Riverside Cafe for making this show possible. Now, Vic and James are coming back. You know, I think they've just wanted a bit of time off. And Steve, on the socials, how do we get hold of you, brother?
You can get hold of me on Twitter at Spendog. That's S-P-E-N-D-O-G.
M-O-U-S-E. And Ash, what about yourself? Did anybody have that Disney karaoke video as a kid? Every time I hear somebody spell something out, I always go, M-O-U-S-E, Mickey Mouse. Ash. Ash. Get me out of this hole. Tell me some words.
Yeah. Yeah, you can catch me at Rogers Ash on the Twitterage. But just your point there, Dan, you were saying James and Vic are coming back. Does that mean, like, me and Steve have, like, we're this
surplus
substitute?
Surplus.
Ineffective substitute.
No, I'm gonna put you...
Are we
Rhodes and New Who?
Are we Rhodes and Wick? Oh, no. it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Click.
When Vic and James come back, I'm going to do a full Steve Bruce. I'm going to go back to the field we put Beastie out to go and pasteurise in. All right, listen. Thanks a lot for joining us this evening. And if you're listening to this before the game, up the Wendy. And we'll see you real soon.
Keep up to date with the Wednesday Week on Twitter at TWWcast or on our website, thewednesdayweek.co.uk.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points back of the net. Le Bosch. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.